This is Jones and Keefe.
It takes many players to be tried to play in the NFL. And so you do have to allocate your resources, whether it be draft picks or whether it be finances. You have to allocate those resources. There was no question in our mind that Michael could bring us a lot of resources on a trade. That has been on my mind since we hired Brian. But when you are talking about making a contract the kind that he got and for the future, that's quite a commitment. And I'm just going to give you this. Not only do we immediately get a player, but those draft picks could get us, I'm talking top Pro Bowl type players could, but they could get us as few as three or as many as five outstanding players.
Jones and Keefe right now on WEEI.
Happy Friday.
Are you ready for a Patriots Friday, Keith?
Oh, born ready for a Patriots Friday, Jones. Very excited. No game on Sunday for the Pats, but it's still past Friday.
It is. Micah Parsons theoretically could have been a Patriot.
Could have been.
Michael Parsons. I'm sorry. I want to get Jerry's phrasing
right
there.
Michael Parsons could have been. But now look at the upside if you're the Cowboys. You could get five great players, potentially. Like, how do you figure that there, Jerry?
As few as three and as many as five.
Or, more likely,
zero.
Yeah, I would take the under on five for sure.
We could get the greatest players ever in return.
You had the best current defensive player on your team.
Yeah. No, he's quite good.
And you traded him for
him or Myles Garrett, right? I mean, toss
yeah,
up.
Yeah, Garrett's but, awesome, too. You could make the case for either one. Yeah, you'd take both in a second. But they're the guys that I think every year, if your prediction, and we're going to do predictions next week, if you're like defensive player of the year, Micah Parsons, that's a good bet.
Not crazy.
A good bet. No, not
crazy whatsoever. Now? Let me tell you.
It was
a wrecker.
It was right before the Jones and Keefe fantasy draft last night. Keith.
Yeah.
I don't know how you feeling after a few brew dogs last night. You feeling all right?
Oh, I feel great.
Yeah. Oh, you don't feel good about.
Oh, yeah. No, the brew dogs. Baby, please. I've had enough practice there that it doesn't faze me one bit.
But a night in the life of Rich Keefe.
Yeah, the team itself is not great.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't love my squad, but, you know, what are you going
to
do?
All right. Well, we'll get to a full breakdown of that. I was amused by Courtney needling Scheim this morning.
Yeah. So what is it, fantasy football versus Taylor Swift fans?
Kinda.
I say you like what you like. Like, yeah, I don't rip the other. Like, I know I do spend a lot of time on fantasy. And if somebody else spends a lot of time listening to Taylor Swift, that's fine.
I like that. Why can't you be both?
Well, you can be both. That's a great question.
Not enough time in the day.
Well,
I
to
do
be
both.
You could put some little T-Swift on in the background while you're drafting.
That's true.
But I like Courtney specifically mocking the commissioner. I found was very funny. Which you're our commissioner.
I am the commissioner.
I don't know if that was intended when she was doing
it. I'm
that.
The league commissioner.
Yeah.
By the way, if you're watching on Twitch or on YouTube, I don't know what this camera angle is, but you get really just the side back of my head, which I got a fresh cut the other day. It actually doesn't look too bad.
It looks good.
I haven't seen this side of it before.
I never like when I get the behind my head camera view and I just randomly see like a real light patch on the back. I never like seeing that. It's
like a little 2024 John Cena.
It's real thin up there. And I don't like seeing that angle whenever I see it.
He blended it pretty well on the side.
Yours looks good.
Yeah, mine doesn't look too bad.
Are you seeing this from an angle you've never seen it before?
No. Yes, Bridget. Yes, I am.
What is that, like a two?
Two on the sides. Thanks for asking. Yeah, one and a half. I go, let's go crazy. Let's go crazy. This way you go one and a half on the sides and on the back, then that way I don't really need another haircut for too much.
No, it's good. You can really weight it out.
Yeah, that's smart. It's my back to school cut.
Nice.
You like it?
Oh, I like that a lot. Yeah. I did that a couple weeks ago.
People are not happy with the camera angle. They don't like seeing the back side of my head.
Well,
neither do I.
You know what?
You gonna like it?
Well, Terp has had internet issues, quite
Terp
frankly.
Terp was a wild man last night in the fantasy draft. So we're streaming the fantasy draft. We'll have more on this later. But Terp was just, he's the guy that's in and out of the draft. And then in the little chat room, just keeps saying, Justin Turpin joined the draft.
Well,
Justin Turpin left the draft.
The odd thing is, every time Terp left the draft, Dan Ball was in the draft, and then vice versa.
They were playing a real will they, won't they last night.
Something very strange was up there. I don't even quite know what it was, but something strange was going on.
Oh, and throughout the day, feel free to text in fantasy football punishments. We were just talking about it with the Greg Hill show.
Yeah, I heard
we
Greg,
are open to it.
Greg was very critical. He was like,
why do you even do the league?
What are you even doing the league for if you're not going to,
It's like, well, the league starts next Thursday. Whether
spank someone's bare ass. Why are you even doing that?
Well, that's not a bad one.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Everybody
right?
either gets
just
spanked.
Came to me. Yeah.
The rest of the league has to spank
everyone
me.
Everyone gets one spank.
It's like, Jones, you haven't filled out your lineup. Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You just
He just wants the spanking? Is that what it is?
Yeah, no, I know.
You know you're going to get spanked if you lose.
Yeah, that's definitely a punishment.
Yeah. All 11
Jones, you haven't put any players in your lineup.
You dropped your whole team. Why is that?
Just waiting for the end. The end of the season can't come soon enough. The whole station gets to spank me in the parking lot.
You're like, ugh. God.
Okay.
Well, again, we just felt it was a little presumptuous to assume this show surviving the fantasy season, Greg, is what we assumed.
Yeah, good point. We don't want to have this big announcement of what the punishment's going to be. Peters away.
But we should let Ken and Mike know we're cooking up a good one, just like we have a good bracket going
in
March.
We have a great March bracket, so stay with us.
Yeah, so go nowhere here on Jones and Keefe. Patriots Friday, we're going to talk to free agent acquisition, Patriots defensive lineman Milton Williams. He's going to join us right about an hour from now, after 11 o'clock, with all your phone calls, 617-779-7937. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. Do the same on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. We have our Top 5 Friday coming up at 10:45, so call that a half hour from now. We're going to give you our top five fantasy football favorites.
Yes.
That should be fun.
Yep. I got a few. Let's just say may have helped me win a championship or two, Jones. Brag. So, yeah, looking forward to that.
We got good. The Friday 4-pack at 11:30. Week in review at 12:45. And we also have two pairs of tickets to give away for the 04 Red Sox cruise.
Featuring 04 Red Sox cruise.
Kevin Millar.
All right.
Johnny Gomes. Clay Buchholz.
Johnny Gomes wasn't on the 04 team.
Well, it's the 04 cruise with Red Sox adjacent players.
On the 04 team.
Well, but Kevin Millar was.
Okay.
So there you go.
And he'll tell you about it.
It says Kevin Millar and teammates, Johnny Gomes and Clay Buchholz, among others.
Was he even in that documentary, though? We barely saw Millar in that thing.
Trapped on a boat with Kevin Millar.
Go on, Nick. We're giving away pairs of tickets.
If Curtis Laskanik isn't on this cruise, we riot.
Yeah, seriously.
But anyway, we'll be doing that later on in the show. Our first pair of tickets.
Pokey Reese on the cruise?
Will be about an hour from now. So stay tuned. Let's get down to the Micah Parsons trade last night, Keith. Or should we call him Michael?
Michael Parsons.
Do you think that was intentional?
It's Micah Parsons.
He did that three or four, maybe five times last night. Do you think that was on purpose, or do you think he's lost it?
Jones had to correct him, right?
Yeah, multiple people had to correct him. Yeah. He corrected himself, I think, and then Stephen Jones corrected him at one point. Yeah.
He's old, and not to be like an ageist or anything, but I just, you're just not as sharp when you get older. It's really hard to be as sharp.
I think that's HIPAA.
I don't think he's ever done that before. Like Florio.
All right, well, there's
today.
A first time for everything. He's 82 years young,
I know,
Jerry
but
Jones.
You go from always calling him Micah Parsons as recently as like a week or two ago, and now you call him Michael five times in a row?
Life comes at you fast,
Is it possible that was intentional? He thinks that's like a sick burn?
Five or six?
Maybe it is. I don't know.
He's just an old man.
But
like if Robert did that, I'd be like, old man.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll be consistent. Yeah. Robert's
the late, great Mayor Menino. Sure. He had a hard time with names at times.
Sure.
But, no, we were kind of watching all three star players that were in contract disputes all summer long, and it was Terry McLaurin, who I felt like was the most likely to return. Then Hendrickson and Micah Parsons, I was like, maybe Cincinnati's going to be just too cheap, and they're going to move on from Hendrickson. But they didn't, and they brought him back. Mm-mm. So then you're like, all right, maybe Micah Parsons goes, or is this just – and the thing that everybody's been talking about is that Jerry Jones just loves the attention, right? More and more people have pointed out – Jerry Jones would rather be on the front page talking about his team than his team actually winning and him being quiet.
And what's going on right now?
They're talking about his team.
There's a Dallas Cowboys Netflix documentary on Jerry Jones and his Cowboys.
Oh, he comes across great. I haven't watched it yet.
I haven't yet either.
I will. People seem to like it. He comes across pretty good, which makes me feel like he must be like the co-producer of this thing.
Yeah.
But people did seem to enjoy this documentary. I'll watch it eventually. But it
times out with that documentary. Yeah, yeah. There are a bunch of clicks, a bunch of eyeballs on the team. I like Charles Robinson, his work at Yahoo. He made the point today. He's like, Jerry can say he wants to win another Super Bowl before he dies and he'll do anything. This is the opposite. I mean, this is the complete opposite of doing anything you can to win a Super Bowl.
Somebody made the point. It might have been Burt Breer. It was a pretty funny point. He was like, if you gave Jerry Jones the option, a classic Would You Rather Wednesday, if you will.
Yeah,
Would You Rather? So you could win a Super Bowl. I'll give you this year's Super Bowl, but you can never do a press conference again. He would probably choose no. He would rather do press conferences.
I already have three.
Yeah, I got the Super Bowls. That was like 30 years ago. I don't care.
Doesn't matter.
I have those. I have those three. I'd rather do my radio show. I'd rather come on and talk to everybody and just sort of like carry myself as.
I'd rather be Jerry Jones than be anonymous with another Super Bowl.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, that's, you know, easy to say. But then when you make a move like this, you're like, yeah, I kind of believe it. I believe that to be the case. And then to explain it the way that he did, the sound that we played off the top where he's like, we have a chance now to get like three great players. It's like you have one of the 10 best players in the league right now, and he's young.
The season starts next week.
Yeah. And
do they open? They opened a week from last night, right?
They have the Thursday game against the Eagles, right?
Yeah. They're less than a week away from their opener.
And he just trades Micah Parsons for draft picks.
And he's like, in 5 years, we could have five good players.
We're going to be cooking with gas. It's like, what are you going to be doing in 5 years? I hate to be the Grim Reaper here, but what are you doing in 5 years?
So here's the question. Should the Patriots have been in? And this is twofold. Number one, draft compensation, a roster player. I don't know who the equivalent of Kenny Clark is on this team, but a roster player.
Kyle Duggar.
And two first-rounders. It might be. I think Kenny Clark has had a good career. I think he's declined quite a bit.
Yeah.
So I really don't know what the equivalent is, but it's two first-rounders, a roster player. And I frankly think this is the bigger sticking point if the Patriots were ever going to make a deal. The contract. He's getting quarterback money.
The most money ever for a non-quarterback.
I think they should have done it. Of course they should have done it. I'd give him the contract. I'd give up the picks. Of course I would do that. He's awesome. I think the reason the Patriots didn't do it, if it even got to this point, and I don't think it does. I heard Phil Perry last night on TV saying it never even got close.
No.
If it did, I think the contract would have been the bigger impediment than the draft picks.
Yeah, and really it should be the other way around. If you said no to it, if Vrabel said no to it, I think the clear argument would be you're really not that close. Like, as much as you and I are optimistic about the team, we think they're a potential playoff team, but not a true Super Bowl contender. And you're better on defense than you are on offense. And then are you going to give up this much capital to add another defensive player? As great as he is, you could make the case that, no, you're better off with the picks and even the financial flexibility to add a receiver or to add somebody else on offense, or maybe even, you know, another offensive lineman or something along those lines. So I could see the argument there. It shouldn't be the money part of it. You have so much money the cap.
If I had to bet.
I agree.
Vrabel in the front office much more likely to move the picks than Robert is to lay down that money for Micah Parsons.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Now, so this would be the argument. So somebody who's older, like Hendrickson or McLaurin, you could say, well, you don't do this deal because you're like the team's prime doesn't really line up with their that kind of thing, right? Like the timing is off. Micah Parsons is 26. Yeah, so Micah Parsons,
is it 4 years in the league? He's been to four Pro Bowls and he's been a three-time All-Pro. Like he's
insane.
Ridiculous.
So yeah, you mentioned Myles Garrett earlier. That's another guy where you're like, all right, two first-round picks. There's not a lot of players in the NFL anymore that I think would really go. Let's put quarterbacks aside. They don't really get traded too often in their prime, certainly. So players in the league that you would trade two first-round picks for might be on one hand or two, like two hands tops.
Yeah.
And Parsons is one of them. So, like, but the Packers made a great trade.
Are you surprised at all the Packers are the team to do it?
I am.
I think of them as such a conservative draft and develop sort of team, which I think tells you the rarity of this type of player
they
being on the market.
They didn't sign free agents for like 40 years, right? Yeah. Like Reggie White was like the first guy they ever brought in.
Yeah.
And then even after that, they don't really do that either. And people are like, their front seven's really good. They're like, they don't even, not that, you know, nobody doesn't need Micah Parsons, but they're like, they're set on that side. So that was surprising.
I kind of think the fact that it's the Packers that got him tells you how special of a talent this is, how much of a rarity it is that this kind of guy is available. And so I think it's self-evident the Patriots should have been in. Why weren't they? I don't see any reporting that it was even close. You know he was available. We all knew he was available. We've been talking about it for months, going back to the draft. Why weren't the Patriots in?
I think it was probably the money mostly.
My guess is it started with the owner. That's my guess. What do you guys think? I'm surprised. Most of the Twitch chat is anti giving him the deal and or giving up the compensation.
It's
for
similar
Micah
to
Parsons.
Like, remember when like Julius Peppers or Khalil Mack, like when those guys changed teams and you're like, holy smokes. You're like, what a massive swing. But this guy's even younger. I was looking at this.
I think didn't he go for less than Khalil Mack? I think he went for less than
Mack. I think he did. But
and he's a better player.
Julius Peppers went from Carolina to Chicago, but his first year in Chicago, he was 30. You know, so this is even younger. Like, this is like right in his prime, the Packers are getting Micah Parsons. And by the way, Cowboys versus Packers week 4.
Awesome.
Great. Awesome. Great theater.
Awesome. Yep. Michael Parsons is going for the hat trick, three sacks in that game. 617-779-7937. Maybe you could go for four, like our guy Kyle Schwarber last night.
Schwarbs.
Not to spoil anything for the grab bag coming
up. Come on.
But we'll get to all your feedback. Should the Patriots have been in on Micah Parsons, and why weren't they in? Because I don't see any reporting that they were. Again, we'll get to your feedback here coming up. We have the Week in Review at 12:45, Friday four-pack at 11:30, and a Top 5 Friday for you coming up at 10:45, about 20 minutes from now. We'll give you our Top 5 fantasy football favorites. Let's also get into the Patriots, whether or not they're creative enough to bring in elite talent like Micah Parsons. We'll do that right after Trending with Bridget.
For the Dallas Cowboys, this ends a saga that has been going on for months and months and months. Ever since it became clear that there was nothing going to happen with the Cowboys and Micah Parsons moving forward, called into a meeting. Jerry Jones tried to negotiate a deal with him. Without his agent, rubbed Parsons the wrong way. Parsons felt like the Cowboys were taking advantage of him. At that point, the relationship was broken. And my understanding is over the course of the past 3 or 4 days, the Cowboys engaged with the Packers. They struck a deal about 2 days ago. And then in secrecy, the Green Bay Packers and David Mulugeta, who's Micah Parsons' agent, who the Cowboys did not negotiate with, struck this deal. Micah Parsons is now a Green Bay Packer.
Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. That was Ian Rappaport breaking down the Micah Parsons trade. Patriots should have been in on Parsons, right?
Yes.
The question is, why weren't they? Was it the compensation? 2 first-round picks plus a roster player? Was that a reasonable deal? Was that too much of an ask? And furthermore, was it the contract, which my suspicion is what that was. So you can discuss on the phones. A reminder, we'll be giving away our first of two pairs of tickets for the 2004 Red Sox championship cruise with Kevin Millar.
Yes.
And some guys who weren't on the 04 Red Sox.
But were Red Sox at one point.
Clay Buchholz.
Sure.
Johnny Gomes, among them.
Yes. World Series champions, all of them.
Yes. So that comes your way a little after 11 o'clock. We'll also be joined by Milton Williams on a Patriots Friday coming up right about 11:10. So stay tuned for that here on a Patriots Friday. We got the Friday 4-pack, 11:30, Week in Review, 12:45. And we'll do our Top 5 Friday, Top 5 Fantasy Favorites coming up about 10 minutes from now. So stay tuned for it. Real quick, we're getting a lot of suggestions, Keith, of Fantasy Football League punishments. You requested them. Any that are jumping out?
Loser shaves eyebrows isn't bad.
Pretty standard. I feel like we can do better than
that. Okay, we can. What about this? You got to go do 10 to 15 minutes of stand-up comedy.
So I've seen that a couple. I see loser impossible. Has to do stand-up. Somebody says, 10 to 15 is way too much.
But then if you got to go, just throw the
what
league.
If Fitzy loses?
Yeah, Fitzy loses. He's just going to be like, that's
good
great.
Point.
Right in my wheelhouse.
Good point. But imagine that. That'd be good show content.
It would be good show content.
If we have Stiz doing 5 minutes of stand-up or whatever, that'd be pretty
good.
Good.
Yeah. I like loser.
And then Ted doing another 5 minutes.
Stiz and Ted.
Oh, they both have to.
It could be like
2.5 minutes each.
Ventriloquist act.
Split it.
yeah, ventriloquist act. Stiz sits on Ted's lap.
Oh, that'd actually be good.
That's not bad.
They could tour with that. Speaking of tours, the Eras Tour, a suggestion is you have to watch the Eras Tour, and then somebody else separately was like, you got to watch it with Courtney. So you have to put your phone down. You have to live stream it. So you have to watch the whole thing. You can't be distracted.
And she's just singing along.
And she's telling you about how good.
Dancing along.
Why she wrote this song. When she wrote this one.
Who she broke up with.
That's about.
Oh, yeah.
Singing in your ear.
Or we could just live stream that.
Yes.
All right. We got to get Courtney on board with that. That's not bad. The loser has to watch the Eras Tour with Courtney.
That's good.
All right, that's pretty good.
I like that one a lot. What else do we got? We got a whole bunch of them in here. Yeah, dunk tank. I'm not doing dunk tank.
Drink a gallon of milk and run a mile? I'm not. No,
that's gross.
Don't you just throw up you when can, you drink a gallon? You can't drink a gallon of milk.
You can't
drink
the gallon.
Right. Correct. Yeah, that's we're not doing that.
I'm not running a mile.
Well, I'm pretty fast, so I might do that.
Loser has to sign their wife up for jujitsu. No, I can't. I mean,
yeah.
Even Tom Brady lost his wife that way. Yeah. I'm not doing that.
That doesn't sound too bad to me. I'm like, hey, that's pretty good.
Get out there.
Not bad. Yeah, go take
well,
some
learn
jiu-jitsu
a little
classes,
self-defense.
Cat. Yeah.
Get out there. Right. Yeah, I mean, like some of the other ones, like take the SATs and stuff. Like I've seen that before. I'm not trying to take the SATs. Loser has to have Scheim cater their next event with mashed potatoes. That's sort of a cheap shot at Scheim's
that's a
poor potato recipe.
And DJ it.
Loser.
DJ.
I like this. Well, loser has to have Hogdale officiate their wedding.
Married.
Yeah, same, Bragg.
Yep.
But
look at us.
How can we get Hogdale involved? Maybe we get Hogdale involved.
Get Hog in there.
With the punishment.
Yeah, that's true.
Got to fly to Iowa. That actually sounds like kind of a great situation.
I think the leader in the clubhouse might be the Eras Tour with Courtney.
I think it is, too.
That's good.
That's pretty great. 617.
From Barney the Purple Dinosaur to Grimace. We love to see it.
617.
Guy's been just on a roll right now. The Red Sox are riding high. Hogs riding high. Everything's coming up Sox.
Yeah, well, and he's at least tangentially, we're going to get into this at 11 o'clock, but Hogdale, we got the pig, and now the pig lit.
The pig lit.
Piglet
tonight.
Peyton Tolley against Paul Skeens.
Maloney's going to be all excited tonight.
Maloney, I don't know how I feel about the pig nickname, because isn't he also Beast?
He was our Hoss of the Week. So, right. No, I don't call Crochet the
Me
pig.
Neither,
I think Lou and Fleming do.
But knowing that they do, and now we're calling Peyton Tolley the piglet, I'm fully on board with the piglet.
Yeah, it's not bad.
That's great.
Piglet's fine.
Fine.
It's fine.
Not bad.
It's fine.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All right. I'm telling you, I forget what it was. Bradford was it earlier in the week, and Bradford had a nickname for him, too. And I'm like, well, hold on. Now we're getting too many things.
Too many nicknames.
Too many names flying around.
I think Piglet is great, but okay. Keith doesn't really like it. Okay.
Yeah, but all right. Just saying.
Loser of the league has the nickname Peyton Tolley.
Because a piglet, okay, now that we're here.
Yeah.
So a piglet would suggest a small pig.
Yeah.
Is Peyton Tolley small?
No.
He's huge.
They also suckle on the other larger pig.
Right.
Yeah, so maybe that doesn't work
Peyton
out.
Tolley is listed at 6'6", 250.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm sure some piglets are pretty large, Keith.
What's Garrett Crochet listed at? 6'6", 245. So how many piglets do you know that are bigger than the pig?
Well,
now that I've talked this out, I don't like it. It's a good idea, but it's almost like two pigs. It's almost like having two pigs.
It's like calling a big guy tiny. Same idea. You're the piglet. You're actually bigger than the pig.
Oh, that's what we're going with? It's an ironic nickname now?
I think
now?
So. Now that I've talked it out, now that I've talked it out, I like it even more.
I guess.
Let's go to the phones here.
Yeah, please.
Jay is in North Carolina. What's up, Jay?
Hey, guys. That Micah Parsons trade with Green Bay took two first-round draft picks. You suppose Gerard Mayo had any advice for them? I'm still pissed off with Gerard Mayo for what he did for the Buffalo Bills game. I'll never forgive him for he screwed the Patriots royally, but that's another story.
Okay.
It is another story. I don't know how that has anything to do with the Parsons trade.
Yeah, that pick's gone now.
The pick's gone. They took Will Campbell. That's it. That's it. They could have had Abdul Carter. It's got nothing to do with Micah Parsons.
No.
If you want to call in because you're still mad about it, great. I love holding the grudge.
They should have lost that game, had the number one pick. Agreed.
Yeah.
They should have fired Mayo. Yeah. He stinks. Agreed. Has nothing to do with Parsons.
But they got a chance to showcase Joe Milton. That's what they did in that game. That game really, for so many reasons, was a travesty. But they still could have gotten Micah Parsons if they wanted to. Because I'm sure the Cowboys, although... I don't want to crawl inside the mind of Jerry Jones, but if they had equal offers and they could send him to the AFC and a team they don't face this year, I think they probably would have preferred that.
If they had Parsons.
Oh, I agree.
If
completely.
The Pats had Parsons?
Yeah.
If the Pats had Parsons, how much does it raise their ceiling? Because a lot of the Twitch chat is like, he's not worth it. How many playoff games has he won? This and that.
No, that's true. Like the reaction is almost like, oh, he's like a three-time like defensive or Super Bowl MVP, the way people are talking about it. He's a great player. He's one of the best. He and Myles Garrett have not had a lot of success on their teams.
I'd say T.J. Watt, too. T.J. Watt makes the playoffs. He wins no playoff games.
J.J. Watt, famously.
Yeah.
I mean, really, Aaron Donald's like the one guy you can point to.
Yeah,
So
maybe none of those defensive players single-handedly bring you a championship.
Yeah.
Donald might be the closest,
yeah.
At least at recent vintage. Maybe none of those guys are bringing you championships.
It still took him forever, and they had to get the quarterback first.
It did, true.
So I think with...
But I would still be in on this player, because
I do
think he raises your ceiling quite a bit for this year, never mind next year and the year after that and the year after that.
But I would have been more upset if CeeDee Lamb was available in the same fashion and they didn't get CeeDee Lamb.
I agree. Bigger need. Yeah, I agree with that.
Bigger need, both in their prime. Would have cost a lot of money, would have cost a lot of draft picks, but that would have been like, how can you let this guy go? Like, you need this guy. You would love to have Micah Parsons. I still would have done this deal. I don't know if it like immediately changes my outlook for this season necessarily. I think it gives me more confidence that they would have a top 10 defense, which I think they can still have.
Right, and but they could be a top 10 defense. Now if they had Parsons, I'd be like
they better be a top 10 defense.
That's a top 10 defense, So I do agree with that. You can jump in. 617-779-7937. We got the Friday 4-pack on the way. At 11:30, we'll get you our top five fantasy favorites on a top five Friday coming up about 5 minutes from now. A reminder, Pro Football Talk on WEEI is presented by Paramount+. You can count on much these days, or you cannot count on much these days. But you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. You can watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We'll get you our Top 5 Friday next. Top 5 Friday here on Jones and Keefe. We're going to give you our top 5 fantasy football favorites in just a moment. A reminder, it's Patriots Friday. Milton Williams will join us next hour. We got a giveaway for the Red Sox 04 Cruise. The first of two pairs will be given away today.
Nice.
On Jones and Keefe. That's also next hour.
Uh-huh.
Friday 4-pack at 11:30 coming up about 40 minutes from now. Week in review at 12:45. We'll also be fully recapping the Jones and Keefe fantasy football draft from last night.
Yeah, and trying to zero in on a punishment and a reward. Let's not just be negative. What's the winner going to receive?
Any new punishments you saw that you like there? I haven't seen much. A lot of them, they're getting more and more violent.
They are pretty violent. That is true.
Oh, did we rule out the spanking? Is the spanking one been ruled out? One spank?
Well, no.
Okay.
Still on the table. This one's actually pretty good.
Per person, yeah, of course.
This is a really good one.
Yeah.
You have to make the loser eat as many hot dogs as Joey Chestnut did on his record-setting performance. However, you don't have to do it all in 10 minutes because that's insane. No one's going to do that. However, so that's 76 hot dogs. You have all the time in the world, but you can't eat anything else until you finish the 76 hot dogs.
I like that a lot.
That's really good.
You get
take a week. Take 2 weeks.
Take a month.
It's only hot dogs.
Until you eat 76 hot dogs and buns. Thank you.
Condiments.
Pop whatever you want on there.
Sure. Can I dip it in a red drink? Like Joey Chestnut. Okay.
Sure. But you get as long as you want to eat 76 hot dogs and only.
Water, hot dogs, and buns.
76 hot dogs and buns. Brew dogs? Well, I'll allow some brew dogs.
You can have a brew dog. It's not a serious punishment.
But the only thing I don't like about that is that really is the honor system. That's really the honor system.
It is.
And we know Shime will huddle up and eat in his car.
You're going to stream it.
Yeah. Well, you're going to stream yourself at all times eating?
Yeah. You're like Truman Show. You're going to be always just stream until you're done. We got to be able to have tabs on
you. It's like
its
own dark web is what that is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's not bad, though.
No.
So keep those coming in. Text line 617-779-7937. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. A good spot for that as well. All right, Keith. Top 5 Friday.
Yes.
You want to lead off here with your top 5 fantasy favorites?
Yeah, fantasy favorites. These are guys that I had multiple seasons that you have an attachment to and hopefully won you a championship or two. I'm going to start at number 5. Calvin Johnson was just an automatic. And obviously you'd watch him on Thanksgiving and it was just like, especially even non-PPR leagues, I feel like he was 100 yards and a touchdown every game.
You're
like, oh, Calvin Johnson, boom, 16 points. Like every time. So he was fantastic. Had a couple years where he was really just unfair. Number 4, Adrian Peterson. Another guy that was just like, you set your watch to it. The numbers were insane. I wonder how many teams that won fantasy leagues had Adrian Peterson. I remember Bragg. I had him the year that he came off the ACL, you know, like 2,000 yards rushing. So he fell to like the second round because he's like, oh, he's hurt.
Who knows what
he's hurt. How good is he going to be? It's like his best year he's ever had. So he was insane.
I feel like it wasn't a decade straight, but it felt like a decade straight. It was probably like 5-6 years straight. He was the number one pick in like every fantasy draft forever.
Yeah, that's probably true. And then he hung around the league for a little bit longer, but he burst onto the scene. He was one of those rookie guys, which I'll get to in a second. But the rookie running back strategy paid off pretty well. Yeah, 2012, he had over 2,000 yards rushing. He had 12 touchdowns. He also caught a touchdown and had 200 yards receiving. Insane. Like it was ridiculous the stuff that he did. He was the league MVP.
He had 40 catches. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he's number 4 on my list. Number 3, Randy Moss. Mm. Both with the Vikings. And then you know what was surprising? If you go back and look at it, obviously 07 was the record breaking year. Even the Matt Castle year, he was pretty good. The 08 year, Randy Moss was a legitimate number one wide receiver, even with Castle throwing to him.
Do you have the numbers? I feel like he was a high touchdown guy, which makes him very valuable in fantasy. I feel like even the Castle year, he was a high touchdown guy.
I feel like he was over 1,000 yards.
I may have that wrong.
He was 1,000 yards and 11 touchdowns.
With Matt Castle?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And then 2009, when Brady returned, it wasn't a great season for the Patriots, but he had 1,200 yards and 13 touchdowns. So he had 3 really good fantasy years with the Patriots, plus all the time in Minnesota. And if you took a stab on him his rookie year, he was comically good in 1998. Number 2 on my list
is Chris Johnson, CJ.
Oh, that's 2K. A great one.
So his rookie year, I remember grabbing him, and he was awesome. Now, this backfired later on when I was like, I'm going to use the same strategy and take Bishop Sankey way too high,
oh, boy.
Thinking he was going to be good. Year two for Johnson, it was his 2,000-yard season. So year one, he broke out and was awesome as a rookie. Then his next year, he was incredible. And then number one on my list is former Seahawks great Sean Alexander.
Oh, that's a great. You had him the MVP year?
I did.
Did you?
I did, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I had him a few years.
Sick yep. Brad.
That is a sick
so Brad. His MVP year was 2005, where he had 27 rushing touchdowns. He was in. He also had three receiving, so he had 30 touchdowns. So every week, basically, he had two touchdowns. He did have that one game. Was it four? He had four or five on like a primetime game. And you're just like laughing as he's just like running into the end zone. He was great. He had a 5-year stretch where he was either the best fantasy back or one of the three best fantasy backs.
So give it to me again, 5-1.
I'm going to go Calvin Johnson, Adrian Peterson, Randy Moss, Chris Johnson, and Sean Alexander.
So we do have some overlap on this list. 4 and 5 for me are both Patriots, so I'll lump them in. One of them is Moss at number 4 for me, and I gave him the edge over this player because 07 was just so ridiculous. 23 touchdowns in that year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he was like a fantasy cheat code at wide receiver for a while. Number 5, though, one spot behind him, Gronk. If you had Gronk, you had some massive fantasy seasons, and you had a positional advantage.
He also torched me, though. So I'm on the other end of it. If you had him the year he got hurt, you're like
really
devastated.
Get boned. Yeah. But the years where he played, Keith,
he was so much better than every other tight end.
League winner.
Yep.
And like in that way, not that different than like a Christian McCaffrey. He could screw your season. It could go up in flames. Fitzy, or it could go very, very well for you. So I would have Gronk on the list as well. My top three, I had to limit myself with just three running backs.
Are they all Chiefs running backs?
The whole no. So you know what? There was a guy who
there's three Chiefs running backs I considered, but I don't think I had them.
I'm kind of kicking myself for not having one of these guys on the list now. After the fact, is it Jamal Charles that you're thinking of?
Charles, Priest Holmes, and Larry Johnson were all ridiculous.
Well, we're gonna get to one of those names coming up. Number three, I agree, Adrian Peterson.
Yeah,
very consistent, like metronome, set your watch, double-digit touchdowns, 1,000 yards. Maybe you get your 2,000-yard season in there.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have as many volume-wise, like huge seasons as you might remember, at least as these next two guys. LaDainian Tomlinson,
sick.
No Patriots fans like him.
No, but he was unfair.
He had
some wild years.
I think he was Peterson before Peterson in this fantasy era of he was the number one pick in every draft, like every single year.
Yep.
LaDainian Tomlinson had two ridiculous seasons. In fact,
so many touchdowns.
You mentioned the 27 touchdown season for, I already forget who it was. Was it Sean Alexander?
Yeah.
He was passed by LT with 28 in 2006.
Jeez.
LT led the league in touchdowns 3 out of 4 seasons. He went 17, 18, 28, and 15 in that 3-year stretch for the Chargers from 2004 to 2007. He's number two. Number one, a name you just mentioned, Keith, and a name you might not remember. Unless you were a fantasy football player, and then the name rings out, Priest Holmes. In Kansas City,
so good.
Ridiculous. Okay, he had 1,500 yards and 8 touchdowns his first year in Kansas City in 01, went to the Pro Bowl. The next year, only 14 games, 1,600 yards, 21 touchdowns, led the league in TDs, went to the Pro Bowl, and he was first-team All-Pro. Actually, he was first-team All-Pro 3 straight years.
Yeah. 03 was his crazy
year, following year in 03, 1,400 yards, 27 touchdowns, and he was a factor in the passing game as well. He had 62, 70, and 74 catches. Priest Holmes, number one fantasy football favorite.
He's great.
He was cool, like, leaping into the end zone. Like, he had, like, some cool, like...
He was fun.
At the one, he was, like, bombing over the line and, like, jumping in.
Oh, but he... But, like...
Probably burnt the shelf life for him, but...
Yeah, probably. Yeah, some of these guys burned hot, then were out. But, like, playing against Priest Holmes those years was just, like, ugh. You'd, like, see him, like... You're like, oh, I'm only down by like 5 or whatever. It's like, yeah, but he has Priest Holmes. Yeah. You're like, oh.
He's like, all he's going to do is fall in from the one and I'm out.
Yeah, like
never mind the other 2 or 3 touchdowns he's going to score.
Forget it.
So there you go. Those
two are honorable mentions.
Yes.
Arian Foster. Loved Arian Foster.
I thought about Arian Foster.
Foster and Matt Forte.
Yeah, so.
Oh, Matt Forte is a great one.
Is it?
Yes.
He had like 800 yard receiving like every year.
He mentioned this after the show yesterday. I'm like, that was a good fantasy player. He's a top 5 all-time favorite.
Well, favorite. So what happens
favorite
is
favorite
like,
is subjective. I understand.
Yeah, because if you had him on your team. But that's why like Gronk to me, but I never lined up right with Gronk.
I've heard favorite is best.
And best is favorite.
Yeah, I have heard that from someone.
We had a guy in our league that had the number one pick somehow like 4 straight years. And it was like Le'Veon Bell's holdout, David Johnson getting hurt. I think Adrian Peters, he had like four straight injuries or didn't play as like the number one pick.
This is a good one. Brian Westbrook. I love Brian Westbrook. Oh my gosh, I love Brian Westbrook.
Maurice Jones-Drew is a good one.
MJD.
Yeah.
I thought I saw another. Oh, Todd Gurley. I know Nick's a Todd Gurley guy back
then. Yeah,
there.
He had a couple years.
He was awesome.
Years until, you know, his knees didn't agree with him anymore.
So there you go. That is the top five Friday fantasy football favorites. Leave your suggestions at Keefe21, at Jones, WEEI. You can do it on Twitch as well, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI, and on the text line, 617-779-7937. It's Patriots Friday. We're going to check in with Milton Williams, Patriots defensive lineman, coming up in just a little bit. We have a pair of tickets to give away to the 04 Red Sox cruise. And speaking of the Red Sox, let's get to the debut of the Piglet.
Woo!
Peyton Tolley tonight against Paul Skeens at Fenway Park. That's next.
Jones and Keefe on WEEI.
WEEI.
Tailgating without Pepsi this football season? That'd be like playing football without pads. You could do it, but I wouldn't. Or like watching the Patriots without a Go Pats chant.
Go Pats, go Pats.
It's just not the same. Your tailgate's wings are good, but wings paired with a crisp, refreshing Pepsi Zero Sugar? That's a game changer. Tailgating deserves Pepsi.
Hi, I'm Brian Goldman from Big Blue Bug Solutions, New England's pest control experts. Our family-owned business has been protecting homes in the area for 85 years, including the most famous home in all of New England, Gillette Stadium, home of the...